Normally we get the Blog Talk Radio thing, so I'll do it for you guys. Blog Talk Radio. And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. We have some hot and heavy action for you this week. Pretty much it's mainly, I like to call this episode TNA / Bash Mike Adamly. And we need to get the proper music to fit the mood, so here it is. Enjoy. I think it's safe to say we should just call ECW the new American Gladiators. But more on that later. First of all, let's introduce you to the sexiest panel since the panel that did America's Next Top Model. Or Manhunt, one of the two. Or Boy Meets Boy. Who cares? We have here in seat number one, we have... A good, loyal friend and true, we have Lucas Pancari up from Canada.
See, I got lost when you started mentioning shows like Manhunt and Boy Meets Boy. That really confused me.
I confuse myself a lot, too. And the second seat is our, what we call the old school arm here around these parts. It's Nikki Hayman.
I may have been around a long time, but I'm still the Janie come lately to wrestling.
Yes, you came in during the late Attitude Era of 99.
Somewhere in there, and was watching WCW. What does that tell you?
Nothing. And in the third seat, ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of the show, and we welcome him on board, DJ.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a Rolly and check your 40. It's DJ.
Where do you live?
Awkward silence.
Exactly. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have some interesting action for you. Joey Styles gone from ECW. This week's a crazy wild impact. The other goings-ons of WWE, but mainly it's TNA today. Pretty much the story has been TNA and pretty much a boffo pay-per-view that they did in the sense of lockdown. Oddly enough, the gimmick matches were quite good.
Helps when you have the right cage.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you told me from last year. They didn't bring the right cage. They just had the electrified fake cage.
Which they had to use for the entire pay-per-view and then just plug it in for the electrified match.
Yep.
That was awful.
It was amusing, though.
Yeah, I like how it only took until the third last match night until they actually really used the cage as part of the match. Good job, guys.
Insanity abounds. The horn. We might do another one of those soon.
I'm there.
Of course you'll be there, Nikki. Unless you're doing a road trip.
I was just going to say the next couple of Fridays are going to be rather tenuous, speaking of road trips. Let me see if I've got all this for you. April 25th, I will be in Cincinnati for Heartland Wrestling Association. Referee Sean Matthews is probably going to get hurt. Come and watch. May 2nd, I'm doing a charity event through Generation of Destination Wrestling. I don't have all the details on it, but I will keep everyone posted. May 9th, Bell Fountain, Ohio, American Lucha Corps, one of the greatest overbooked shows you could ever attend. See the details through New Horror Sammy Callahan on MySpace.
Sounds like fun to me. And she'll try to make the shows, ladies and gentlemen, to keep you abreast of all the hot wrestling action that she's doing.
Absolutely.
And referee Shane Matthews getting hurt? I'm there. Are you?
Watch, now he's going to call. Now that'll get him to call in.
Sure, that'll get him to call in.
Way to get me sidetracked, Nikki, because when you said hot wrestling action, it made me think of Eric Bischoff's HLA.
Don't blame me. I'm pointing at Seidelman.
No. I was somewhat going for a cheap seats reference.
I'm giving you a standing O right now for a cheap seats reference.
Yes. Hot Marlin action.
Caught me a Marlin? What?
From the Steve Garvey Celebrity Billfish Tournament from 1990. One of his lines was, and the sea is brimming with hot Marlin action.
I was just watching the Superstars one. They're talking about the defensive player. It goes at a speed of 110%. That's not a speed.
Adam Lee's been learning from the wrong people. But I'm sidetracking the show even further. Mr. Seidelman, where were we?
We were going to tell you guys, if you want to call in, the number is 1-646-716-9678. We have the chat room we have the chat room open for you. So you can chat with fellow listeners of the show and chat with us and tell us what we are messing up.
Besides format?
We can't mess up worse than Mike Adamley.
Oh, we'll get to that later on in the show.
Now, we were talking about lockdown, I think.
Yep. Yeah, we're talking about lockdown first, but I want to make a quick note of who he was learning from. He was actually learning from Jim McKay, a really solid sports broadcaster. Come from the same ilk as Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford.
A mainstay of ABC Sports.
Yes, and especially, but you know who none of them, you know he should have learned from?
Oh.
He should have learned from the great Keith Jackson.
Whoa,
Pinnacle.
Nelly.
Now let's talk about lockdown, ladies and gentlemen. Lockdown was pretty much a really solid pay-per-view, one of TNA's great efforts. And we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who is this?
It's Trista.
Yay!
2 weeks gone from the show and you forgot my number.
That's because she had a different number.
This is true. I'm using my house phone now because apparently it's cheaper than my phone.
And apparently the reception's much clearer.
Yeah, and the reception's way better.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I heard you guys are talking about like sidetracking and road trips, and I'm like, hey, I love sidetracking and road trips, so I thought I'd join in.
Very good.
It's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing.
Are you road tripping anytime soon, Steph?
Actually, Lucas and I just found out tonight that
Ring News of the Decade
is coming to Toronto in July. Well, north of the border. And we're just assuming it's Toronto. So we'll probably be road tripping over there, eh, Punkary? I think so.
Hell to the yeah.
Yeah. So that's our big road trip.
Sounds like a ton of fun.
I'm just not allowed to detail the rest of my road trip until we actually get through some stuff that was actually on the docket tonight.
Well, we got another caller.
Yay!
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Andy Duke. I lied. I can drop in for just a moment tonight.
Yay! His time is up. Oh, wait.
Oh.
We've got a full house.
Not for a while. Only for a short while, though. Andy, I'm glad you tuned in because we're about to do the announcement of the TNA lockdown picks.
Hopefully I didn't get last place. Confidence creep. He let me down.
No, you didn't get last place.
Yes.
Congratulations, Andy.
I'll frame it on my wall. All
right. Let's start from the top. The order and what the pay-per-view went through. The X-scape match. And we got another caller.
Holy hell.
Caller, you're on the
air.
We got
room in here.
It's VRM. You guys told me to come on, back on Chris's show, so I figured I'd pop down for this one.
How you doing, VRM?
Ladies and gentlemen, the North American Wrestling Connection is now the local 12th party line. Call in now.
Yes, listen to Andy Duke's party line. His next show is Wednesday. Okay, moving right along.
Woo!
Yo.
12 minutes into the show, we haven't talked one bit of wrestling. We're starting to talk WrestleCrap Radio. TNA Lockdown happened this Sunday. It was a pretty good pay-per-view, and here's what happened. Oh, Lordy. TNA Escape Match. The last two in were Johnny Devine and Jay Lethal, so all you guys that picked Sanjay Dutt, out. Consequences Creed, out. And the winner, Black Machismo Jay Lethal, that means I get a point. Ding!
Ah. Nobody picked Curry Man?
We picked
nope.
Curry Man.
Damn right we picked Curry Man. You were wrong, of course.
Of course.
Then we got the Queen of the Cage match. Roxy and Angelina Love were the last two in. And Roxy Laveau was the Queen of the Cage. So me and Nikki get the point.
Yay. Woohoo! I don't get a half a point for calling Angelina Love as the other one in there, or did I have Velvet Sky?
No, you got it right. You picked Roxy to win.
Okay.
And we had BG versus Kip James. Everybody got it right, except for Tyler Brown.
Who is conspicuous by his absence.
He's probably,
why he's absent.
Yeah. His longitude of suckage.
Ew. Good giant fail spot for him.
And then we had Cuffed in the Cage.
I know I got this one wrong.
DJ, are you there?
Yes.
You're the only one that got it right.
Which one was this?
Kaz and AY won.
Yes. I knew they were going to do something with Super UI, so. I thought like Vince Russo, and it came through for me.
You better cut that out. It might stick.
Yeah, and then we get to Kim ODB versus Kong and Saeed, and just like BJ and Kip, everybody got it right except for Tyler Brown.
You're going to have to play Epic Fail on him in a minute.
No, missing five in a row, that's cause for Epic Fail.
Whoa!
Because, Booker versus Rude, everybody got that one right. Everybody picked Booker T. Charmel to win. And Charmel managed to pull out the win.
Yay.
Presently
good
enough.
Poor Rain.
Super.
Then we get to Lethal Lockdown. And the Washingtonians got it right. Me and Andy were the only ones to get that one right.
Boom.
Tough acting to acting.
Whoever called
yes.
the cage in the cage worked.
Yep. And then Angle versus Joe, everybody got that one right. Joe is your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
About time.
About time.
Yeah, about 18 months too late.
Too late for me to keep watching the promotion.
Too late for me to care.
I've been waiting for them to push their own stars in-house. So, yay.
So, let's tally it all up, shall we? Heather Brown, dead last with 2.
Ooh.
Gets dragged out into the forest and shot. Put out of his misery.
Yes. Andy, not bad for a first timer. You got 5.
Yeah.
Nikki, you also had 5.
Yay, Nikki.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
DJ, you also had 5.
Woohoo.
But I get serenaded by Patrick Wayne because I had 7 and I am the winner. Yes. 7 correct means that I win and I retain the title.
So what, no double showcase?
Huh?
I'm surprised you weren't playing double showcase winner.
No, Patrick Wayne's more funny.
Plus, if you get him all right, I think you get the double showcase.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay. A perfecto gets you double showcase, and we... Nikki, we have the opportunity for that next week.
That we do.
Backlash.
Ooh.
Yes, because Backlash is on the 27th, and it should be a pretty decent pay-per-view. Yeah, right. Because as we know from the past, most Backlashes usually, well...
Except for 2000.
That was 2000. I forget what happened then.
That was
Armageddon.
Armageddon
2000?
No, Backlash 2000 is when Austin came back. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and when The Rock won the title from Trips.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to remember what Edge did. That's how I usually remember my pay-per-views.
Hey, Backlash 2000, him and Christian were probably still dealing with the Hardys and the Dudleys leading up to the first TLC.
No, the first TLC was WrestleMania.
I thought it was
it didn't really count as it didn't really count as TLC then, but it's pretty much attributed to that.
Yeah, because
right.
The first TLC wasn't until
SummerSlam
2000.
Ah, here we go. Your beloved Edge teamed up with Christian to defeat X-Pac and Road Dogg to retain the belt.
No wonder I forgot.
Wait, Deborah.
I don't blame you. I bet Edge forgot, too.
How could you forget Deborah being special guest ring announcer for that match? Come on, it's a classic.
Historical Backlash history. God.
Speaking of
Deborah. Cable and Mike Adamly should have a kid.
Did anybody hear about Val Venus on Justin TV?
I heard it. It's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Apparently, he fessed up about getting with Deborah pre-Stone Cold Steve Austin, and apparently Austin is still pissed that Val Venus beat him to the punch.
This is awesome.
Val Venus is now my hero.
He also dishes dirt on the diva that he thinks is going to be the hardest to crack on the current roster, and that would be Katie Lay.
Really?
The name like that? Wait, oh.
Yeah, he's making some serious dirt.
Well, she's British. She's proper.
And Hardcore Holly's in the background just yelling, and he's all drunk. It's so funny.
Yeah, Hardcore Holly was calling him a liar. It was hilarious.
Right. Okay. Now, let's move on here.
God, that echo is horrid.
There's feedback, and I'm not pointing it out. What's wrong with us?
I don't think anything's wrong.
I hear someone's computer.
Where were we?
We're going to go into results from Impact last night. You guys ready to go?
Go.
Oh, let me get a drink.
Yes, get a drink. Let me get a drink, too.
Okay.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Somebody run the station identification.
All right, we're back.
Funny.
Okay. Joe won, and we're starting out in the ring. Scott Steiner came out and talked about the sacrifices Petey Williams made. So Williams got the X Division title shot that Steiner has been lugging on to.
And every time he said sacrifice, it sounded like,
Sacrifice!
Yes, cut off his hair, cut off all that good stuff. Anyways, in one of the better lines, Scott Steiner called Small Joe genetic junk, said the only place he has been world champion is in TNA.
Liar!
Somebody didn't get the memo.
Liar.
Somebody didn't watch the 05 Slammiversary show where they pretty much debunked that.
Anyways, Kurt Angle came in next week on Impact. Kurt Angle is going to invoke his rematch clause.
And who didn't see that one coming?
I kind of thought they would do a three-way dance at Sacrifice.
If you don't watch TNA, does it count if you don't see that one?
Yes, it counts.
Okay. I fall into that category.
Okay. And then the first match of the night, after about 20 minutes of talking, and a hilarious backstage segment between a Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and SoCal Val.
Something about a tambourine.
Looking for SoCal Val when he found Val coming out of the bathroom was Sanjay Dutt.
Oh, nose.
Gasp. Drama. They can't have your feud.
Something about
but,
a tambourine.
Yeah. Black Machismo defeated Jay Lethal. Black Machismo defeated Johnny Devine to retain the title again.
Well, good for him.
Oh, Johnny.
However,
Windsor representing.
Little Petey Pump, Petey Williams whacked Jay Lethal with the Feast or Fired briefcase, destroyed Jay Lethal with the briefcase, putting Lethal's head in the case and stomping it flat. Badmouthed him and informed him that he was cashing in the title shot right now.
A la Edge.
Very Edge.
So, Petey used the Canadian Destroyer, a move that we haven't seen in weeks. Finn Jay Lethal, and now is proud owner of the X Division title.
Yay!
Does this mean Shelly finally gets the title shot I've been waiting for a year and a half?
Nah.
Let me dream.
Alex Shelley has a title shot?
He won the PCS.
Well, since he won the PCS, he should have his title shot now, damn it.
I thought that would have expired by now.
Not in this kid's mind.
Not in Alex Shelley.
No. Oh, okay, in that case, I still want Crime Time to cash in their number one contendership, but we're talking TNA right now.
How fun that is. Anyways, now we get into Matt Morgan coming out of the ring. Matt Morgan said that Jim Cornette has been a mentor to him and that it's time that he should be in the spotlight right now. He had to be a bodyguard to get his foot in the door of TNA, and that was a sacrifice. Ugh.
Yeah.
Matt Morgan says he's more than a prototype, a John Cena dig. He is a blueprint, referring to his old OVW gimmick. How a giant should be in pro wrestling.
and he didn't stutter once.
Right.
Sorry.
Now we get into something fun.
You mean that promo wasn't?
Huh?
You mean that promo wasn't fun?
Don't you love a shoot promo?
Is it pictures of Alex Shelley being handcuffed?
Trista.
Yeah?
The only thing you'd be fixing that is if they were, if he was naked, Chris Sabo was naked, and they were handcuffed together.
I was really looking forward to that. When I was doing my picks the other night, I was like, wait, wait, wait. I want them to be in handcuffs, so I want them to lose. So...
Wow, are we off? We're back off track again. That train went off the.
Actually, you were not really that far off track.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying the view.
If anyone has pictures of it, send it this way.
Let's get to the tag title three-way. Speaking of three-ways.
God.
And handcuffs?
That's why.
This is a dream come true.
No,
I know this.
No, but... Oh, no, but Canada's doing really well on Impact because Super Eric and Kaz won the belts.
Yes.
However.
Yes, but there's a complication to be weasel.
Yes. AJ Styles and Tom Cook complained to Jim Cornette that Super Eric was not a legal participant in the match, just Eric Young. Jim Cornette said that Eric Young admits that they are two different people. He will return the titles.
And
in between, this is old Dusty booking.
That's
sort of like the Midnight Rider thing.
If you will.
Mm-hmm. And then we get a tag team match between Christian Cage and Rhino versus Team 3D. Christian Cage and Rhino won. After the match, Team 3D started pointing fingers and fighting with each other.
Don't bring them up again.
How groundbreaking.
So who gets to play the Deacon this time?
This is the first time I've ever seen a team in TNA split up. I mean, TNA is coming out with such fresh, exciting, intriguing, dramatic storylines.
Ouch, the sarcasm cuts deep.
Give that man a medal.
That's just as good.
Okay, now we get to Jim Cornette in the ring with AJ Styles, Kaz, and Super Eric. Jim Cornette promised AJ Styles and Tomko that he would get to the bottom of the title situation. Kaz came alone, and then Super Eric showed up with the belt. Super Eric claimed to not know who Eric Young was, and Jim Cornette started losing his patience. Kaz said if Super Eric admitted that he was Eric Young, they would keep their tag team titles. However, he did not. So Jim Cornette stripped Kaz and Eric Young of the tag team titles, but refused to give the titles back. Jim Cornette vacated the titles and said he would make an announcement next week to clear that up.
Maybe they'll bring the heartthrobs back? And they can win the titles?
No. We need the Bashams.
No.
No. We need the Johnsons.
No.
I was thinking more we bring back the teacher's pets, but...
I want Super Blue Cross and Somalian Joe.
Yes!
You want to know how TNA will get into the 1.5 range? Right there.
Andy Duke, the winner. Somalian Joe and Super Blue Cross. Nice.
Oh, my Lord.
Not just any Super Blue Cross, but Blue Cross number 6.
Can they afford to fly them in from Madagascar? They only have 2-sided rings there. Won't they freak out over the 6-sided rings?
They're going to send them in first class.
They have to.
And make them pay for it.
Yep. Okay, now we get a Knockouts title match between Awesome Kong and Roxy Laveau.
Woo!
And Awesome Kong wins.
No way.
Big surprise. But Roxy did get some offense, and there were some near falls, which made for a little bit, it made you doubt a little bit that she was going to win, but oh well,
and then came
the total squash.
Yeah, and then came the spinning back fist and the Conquista bomb, as I call it.
No, Awesome Kong's power bomb would make Batista cringe.
True. Kong is a monster.
I would love to see a match between Awesome Kong and Batista.
I read that Angle wants to put Kong over.
I want to see a match between Awesome Kong and Umaga, but somebody might take it for a mating ritual.
Aw, oh, man.
Below the belt.
But it's so easy.
Nice one, Nikki. All right. Now we have backstage, Kringle is trying to get into his regular dress room, which is reserved for the DNA World Champion, so he had to go dress with the boys.
Aw, oh, poor kid.
He'll come through. He'll probably get dressed in his car.
Did it show who was a part of the boys in the change room? Any flashes?
You really want to see him in a red thong again?
No, I'm coming to see someone else.
Yes.
I have no idea who you're referring to.
Trista Timpson would love to see Robert Roode running around in bikini briefs.
Well, who wouldn't?
That's a secret.
Okay, that's not a bad view, but I can think of better people that need to be running around in thongs.
Yes, like the guns.
Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana in the banana hammock.
All right, come down, everybody. Lethal Lockdown, Revenge, Sting, Booker T, BG, versus Storm, Rude, and the Kipper.
Well,
who, according to Tyler Brown, is one of the greatest
here.
Wrestlers of, and Kip James, according to Tyler Brown, is one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Was he joking when he says that? Because that's like the funniest joke I've heard today.
Well, you
like
think Kip... Well, according to Tyler Brown, he did pick Kip James to win the match.
I still think he was heavily sedated, drunk, under the influence of drugs.
I think he is.
Well, he did shoot pretty hard on Storm, and I kind of that was a good promo.
Anyways, what we have here is James Storm was going to use a beer bottle in the match, but Matt Morgan came in and kicked Storm right in the head.
Okay.
After the match, Booker T got mad and said that he didn't need any help and had some choice words with Sting, which means they'll probably smooth this all out come next week.
Only one run-in at the end of a TNA Impact. They're getting better.
Yeah, but they still have a run-in.
That'll be next week's show.
Get him out of the system.
Exactly. And now let's talk about our new favorite announcer.
Kaz?
Mike Adamly.
Someone better play American Gladiators right now.
You already did. I think you're late.
They were playing it at the beginning of the show. Yeah, that. Mike Awfully.
Let me press. Look out! people here at this glamorous arena for ECW. Hello again, what's everybody? I'm Mike Adamley, and joining me is Tazzy Maniac, and we have a great lineup for you. Our main event featuring CP Monk against Randy Corton, and look for a special guest appearance by Jess Hervey. Hardy.
Okay, if CP Monk ever showed up, I'd mark.
Somebody
on the side, I'm waiting for Larry Zonka to be the new next guest commentator on the show.
Because Kaz is going to kill Adam Lee first.
I may actually watch ECW tonight just to hear this guy commentate. Sounds awesome.
Prepare a red hot sofa for your ears, Krista.
And let me remind you, I have watched ECW twice since it's debuted. That's
I've watched.
We have it at like a ridiculously retarded line time slot, but yeah, I've watched it twice. And one of them
watched
was
CM
Punk's debut.
I watched it once, the night Punk won the belt. That was it.
Yeah.
I was in attendance when Punk won the belt.
Oh, bitch.
I was in attendance the week before Punk won the belt.
I was in attendance for Heiden Rape.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Way to kill
I was
me,
in a, I was in attendance when Vince McMahon came out to the ring and announced that John Cena had been hurt and stripped of his title. Hey, I was at that show. Yes, you were. ECW in Dayton.
I was in attendance when Vince McMahon hugged Eric Bischoff.
You are a lucky bastard.
I got a good one. I was in attendance at the last great WCW pay-per-view of all time.
Then?
WCW Spring Stampede 1999.
Ooh.
There you
and
go.
Okay, here's one for you. I was in attendance at a WCW Monday Nitro when Kevin Nash made his first appearance on Nitro. My dad was getting ready to get up and leave, and I said, no, wait, there's more. And true to form, Scott Hall was over in the cubbyhole where they were announcing from at Nitro, and you could see him tapping on Bischoff's shoulder, turns around, and there's Big Kev. Oh, it was so great. I was hoping that he was powerbombing him right then and there, but it didn't work out.
Saved for Great American Bash.
I was in attendance for the Spirit Squad and the Highlanders at Unforgiven 2006.
Well,
I've been at Bo Diddley.
And Trish Stratus' last match, and Edge lost, and it was tragic. And also when Kane and Snitsky like flew off the stage, and then they were like talking and laughing with each other on the ground. I saw that on the
show.
And I looked at it, and I looked at my cousin, and I'm like, why are they laughing? It was really awkward to be there for.
Well
here you go, I was at the Raw. It was Detroit Draft Day. This was the night that Edge came back.
Yes.
And scared whatever loving crap out of Eric Bischoff.
That was amazing. I marked it.
It was beautiful.
I was in tears.
It was gorgeous. I also enjoyed the locker room clearing brawl at the end.
I was so excited when he came back from his neck surgery. I honestly ran up the stairs and I woke up my parents. I'm like, Mom and Dad, Edge is back! And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, Edge, he's back! He said I was an injury. That's why I haven't been watching wrestling for the last, 15 months. And they're just like, we were sleeping.
You didn't do that at all tonight when I told you the big news? No, not at all.
Well, no one was home when you told me.
That's when you run out in the streets and start waving flags and screaming.
I should do that.
I haven't done that at all.
Next time.
Now, come
okay,
on. This when Jericho came back.
I wasn't too excited.
Was I the only one then?
By the way, you know VRM who was just on the show?
Okay.
He was at Raw 2 weeks ago at MSG. Well, when they did a Raw 2 weeks ago, wherever that was.
Raw.
Raw 2 weeks ago? As in the day after WrestleMania?
At the Times Union. At the
awesome.
Times Union thing.
What happened?
Yeah. Let me pull up the stuff.
Why is this so important?
from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Primetime's return.
Yes.
How exciting was that? Oh my God, I was so pumped up for it.
Brian Kendrick's first win.
Yay!
In decades.
Yeah.
From Olympia.
A great Chris Jericho Punk match.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
That was an amazing match until it ended.
The intergender no DQ match between Maria and Santino Marella.
I have forgotten that match. There's a reason why.
That classic.
And Ric Flair's farewell. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. He meant the week before last in Albany.
Oh.
Oh, he's cut.
Get the dates right.
Oh, the infamous Lillian Garcia moment.
When she got knocked off the apron?
No. Her most recent one.
When she misspoke and announced Kate and Murdoch as the winners?
That's right.
Oh, Lillian.
And Nikki, I was also there when she got knocked off the ring apron. That was because of Charlie Haas at a Raw in Pittsburgh.
That was hilarious.
And I think that was the show. That show was the same Monday that there was a house show in Fort Wayne.
Really?
That had maybe 500 people.
Yeah, because
at War Memorial.
That's right.
Sorry.
Because we were there the next night at the SmackDown in Wheeling.
Yeah.
And I was there also because I went Pittsburgh Wheeling. Anyway, go on, everybody.
This one had the Chris Jericho versus Batista and Batista Shawn Michaels thing. It was just starting to set up for. It was just a big setup, setting up stuff for Backlash and last week's shenanigans, actually, which we're going to talk about now. Raw from London, England.
Yay.
Jolly good.
We'll start with the Heat tapings. Melina Perez and Jillian Hall beat the Playboy Bunnies.
Yay!
Yay!
There is a god.
Hey.
They started calling him the Canadian Bulldog, D.H. Smith.
He's not really Canadian, so it's okay.
Is he heel or face? Because he's been turned so many times, I don't know whether to like him or dislike him.
Well, how Let's can he some stuff?
It doesn't really matter.
Well, he defeated Super Crazy.
Okay, so he's heel.
But he's in Britain.
So
okay, then he's safe.
Face for a week.
Cody Rhodes beat Charlie Haas. And Snitsky defeated Bal Venus. Or as what I used to call him in the past, Pal Penis.
Zing!
That doesn't even make sense, but it's so great.
I don't know. We had. Let's get to something good. Let's see here. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. Looks like Chris Jericho's starting to turn heel. Good.
Maybe not.
Still don't care.
If it was some other guy with the initial CM Punk, that'd be more exciting.
No, it's just that Jericho's back to being his master shit-stirring self, if you'll pardon my French.
If Triple H isn't going to turn heel, then somebody needs to do it, because they need a top heel guy to run with Orton and JBL. Not to run with them, but to kind of balance it out a little bit.
By the way, VRM signs were burn, you know, the old JBL thing. I mean, Y2J thing. And super kick. You know, because Shawn Michaels would be super kicking people. Anyway.
Okay.
And we have a new WWE Women's Champion.
Yay!
Yay!
Woo! Mickie James is your champion. Melina,
right.
Listen to Patrick.
Whoa.
'Tis a glorious day.
They did a glorious day.
Did you see the poll in the Diva? I think it was in the Diva section on the WWE website, and it asked if you think Mickie James deserves the title or if it was a fluke. And I checked it like a couple of hours ago, and less than 1% was saying it was a fluke. And then her actually deserving it was like 99 point something.
That 1% is Beth and her relevant. That's Beth and her relatives. The 1%.
Yeah, less than 1%.
Yeah.
There
was the number one contenders tag match. Carlito and Santino won.
Yes, stereotypes.
Not heartthrobs.
Santino, Santana, Kandusky. Wait a minute.
Put a title on Santino, please.
Yes.
He's your main event heel. I don't know what you guys are talking about. My mind is.
This week that he debuted last year.
No, he should be a manager. He needs to be somebody's manager.
Larry Sweeney needs to come in and be a fucking manager.
Hells yeah!
Power!
Away.
There we go.
Power! I loved him.
He's such a nice
guy. That or Nana. I would love if Nana came in.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's DRM. I figured you guys are like screwing up everything I'm typing in the chat, so I'll just come back on.
Yeah.
Very long minute.
Alright, welcome back, VRM. We're just talking about last Monday's Raw.
That was Santino, a little screw-up with pointing to who is who.
That's all the fun.
That is stupid, Lawler.
And Steven, the Subway sandwich. I got your delicious Subway sandwich! So good!
Victoria took a great big bite out of it.
Let's see what else we got here. Randy Orton beat William Regal. No surprise there.
Yeah, but Regal was stiffing the crap out of him.
I would, too.
That was a really good match.
However, I know somebody who would give him a stiff one, if you know what I mean. Anyways.
Whoa!
That was tough.
Chris Jericho defeated Umaga to retain the Intercontinental title.
By the skin of his teeth. It was an awesome match. It was fun.
Yeah. Paul Burchill beat Duggan.
That was on TV?
Yep.
Yes, it was.
Did they cut that out in Canada? I don't even remember seeing that.
It was only a minute. We didn't. If you would have went to the bathroom, we wouldn't have seen it either.
I don't remember that match at all. What did I do?
He gave him the curb stomp, and that was it.
You blinked, probably. That was probably it.
Yeah.
You're probably insulting me online or something.
Oh, that was probably it.
And in your main event, ladies and gentlemen, Triple H versus JBL ended in a no contest when Randy Orton interfered. After the match, Randy Orton and John Brash Holyfield double teamed Triple H. Randy Orton tried to punt kick Triple H in the head, but JBL double crossed him with a clothesline from hell.
Word.
JBL then gave Triple H the clothesline from hell and then held the WWE Championship above his head.
Whoa.
He wins it backlash. I hope he... Sorry?
As everyone wonders when the Cena run-in is going to happen.
Eventually.
It never did.
It didn't. And God help us, if JBL wins at backlash, he's going to blow that belt up.
I hope so.
Please.
Yes, I want a JBL win now.
I love it when shit blows up for no reason.
That's why.
Oh,
then you'll love WSX.
I do love WSX.
And
Hold it. I gotta make a plug. Buy the WSX DVD. It's only $20 at Best Buy. Or how much Canadian is that? $20. Okay.
I got mine off Amazon.
I got mine as a gift.
I gave it to my brother as a gift from Amazon. It was supposed to be a gay gift because we used to make fun of it so much and he appreciated it more than his actual gift. And I was like, no! It wasn't supposed to be.
I gave it Tristan, the rest of crappers in here know this, that I gave it to my friend Tony as a gift.
That's true. And it was nice. It didn't like randomly blow up when you opened it.
If it did randomly blow up in it, you know what he would have said?
In the face? I don't know what WSX did.
He would have said that was so cock awesome.
There was one copy of that DVD put up on eBay by Matt Classic himself, and it was autographed by Colt Cabana and the official wrestler of Nikki Haman, Matt Sydal.
I only watched the Tyler Black stuff on there because I'm biased.
Okay.
You
I
know.
I watched it inside out.
And just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, next week is, well, one out of four ain't bad. Next week is a 3-hour Raw featuring the return of the King of the Ring.
Yay!
Yay!
Yes.
Also,
huzzah!
Hillary versus Obama.
I'll believe it when I see it.
No.
Work rate city right there.
Donald versus Rosie, anybody?
Yeah,
yes.
Seriously, but Ace Steele got fired.
How
Ace
funny would that be?
Who are they
going
to get to play him?
They should bring
what
back Ace Steele to be Obama, just for no reason.
Ace Steele should be Hillary. Ace Steele should be Hillary. Virgil versus the Wondra Blaze.
No.
Ooh. Actually,
no,
I was going to say,
no,
Medusa Window was available to play.
Alundra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa Miceli, a.k.a. Deborah Miceli, is actually doing a monster truck driving now.
Don't
making a sort of living out of it at that.
She's still in it? That's awesome.
She's running for the Bigfoot team now. I'm a monster truck fan. That's why I know it. My brother was mighty pissed when he found out.
That is freaking awesome. I'm going to have to go find her. No, I think Linda McMahon would make a great Hillary.
You know who should be Obama?
Kofi Kingston?
No, that would cause him to have to shave his head, so no.
Aww.
Shelton Benjamin?
No.
Big Daddy V?
Yes.
Hello.
Who keeps winning tonight?
This episode is full of win.
I want to win at something.
Talk full of win.
Well, did you bring my Jaffa cakes at least?
No.
Yeah.
I ate them.
kind of off.
And Lucas had to go.
But, Krista, did you hear the news?
About Ring of Honor?
Yeah, going north of the border, finally.
Already talked about.
Sorry.
God, Andy.
By the way, I just want to point out that a fellow WrestleCrappers at the Ring of Honor show tonight.
Lots of WrestleCrappers at the Ring of Honor show tonight. Like
WrestleCrapper
reunion plus wrestling.
That is why
yes.
It's his condition.
He said, Aren't the guns on the card tonight?
Hell yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do your allegiances lie, Trista, in that main event match?
I did the same thing that Lucas did, and I flipped a coin. And mine landed on Age of the Fall.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I flipped a coin. You know what it landed on?
The side.
Yes.
It was
a two-headed coin.
Six-headed coin. On Sunday, if anyone remembers. Anyway. Along with my six-sided dice, yes.
Only
isn't
six
that like glasses. Any other die?
Yeah.
No. They come in many, many sides, but I'm not allowed to talk about that on this show.
Are those like those sex dice?
Huh?
You know those sex dice things? Have you seen those before?
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that's what you were talking about. Maybe they have more than one side. I think my friend had one. They had like eight. It was pretty cool. They were like an octagon.
I have one with 20.
Really?
I have a whole bunch of dice with 20 sides.
That's crazy.
Oh, by the way, there's going to be a new Amazing Kong DVD out.
Yes!
Want to see Amazing Kong take on the world?
Absolutely.
It'll be available in our Global Domination Pack.
That's awesome.
Cool.
I'm so happy for Kong.
Okay, here's something interesting from Big Vision Entertainment, the same people who brought you WSX.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
The putting out a Best of Tyler Black DVD, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-mm.
Is this a Terry Funk show?
No. Oh, it's just some UK crap. Do we get any UK listeners in here? No? Okay. Skip it.
What if your heritage is UK? Does that count? No? Okay, we'll move on. Da-da-da.
Well, how about this thread? The 2007 annual report by WWE just came out. They reported this week.
And how much did they supposedly make?
A lot. They are still in business.
$500 billion.
Holy crap.
They made a billion?
Half.
A billion dollars.
When you round it.
Net revenue. $485,655,000.
$422.16.
No, that's what TNA made this year.
Hey, I
Ooh.
Think TNA's actually making profit now. We shouldn't joke.
Yes, we are.
Okay, let me just break it down for everybody quickly, the stuff that matters. Live events in North America, there are 230 shows, and they averaged $40 a ticket. The live events international, 80 shows, but $80 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
WWE 24/7 made $5 million this year.
It would have made more if they hadn't cut Benoit out of everything.
And in pay-per-view revenue, it made less than 2006.
Well, at first I thought you were going to say less than $2,000.
I was going to laugh. Does that mean I was the only one ordering them last year?
No, listen to this. In 2006, they made $94.8 million. 2007, $94.3 million.
Hardly a dent. It's like a Diva Search girl.
Or London and Kendrick.
Allowed.
Or Joey Styles, who is now working at WWE.com.
Hey, that's a promotion for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually glad because I felt bad for Joey. I felt horrible for him that they were tweaking his style. He was the best play-by-play man in the business, and they just destroyed him. And you know what? He can actually help WWE.com because before he jumped to WWE, I was one of his loyal readers at OneWrestling.com, which he founded with Bill Apter. So he actually knows how to run a decent wrestling website, so I'm encouraged.
Good.
I'm worried. They might be...
Rid of coal. WWE Films, it made $15.7 million.
Mostly on DVD sales, I bet.
Yeah, asset impairment. International made $120 million. And they have 570 employees right now.
Are they hiring?
Does that include independent contractors or no? Sorry, Dan, it had to be said.
No, points, DJ, points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Yay!
Same thing that people did after an Ultimate Warrior interview. The gods of distress at the are upon you.
Hulk.
Or an ending coherent Jake Roberts interview.
No such thing.
Hey, Lucas.
And I'm back.
He's back.
Yay.
Oh, by the way, tomorrow is the second annual Legends of Wrestling at Tropicana Field for those in the Tampa area.
That's a bit of a drive. I can't make it.
a bit of a far trip for me.
Right.
Next year.
But you want to know who's wrestling? Actually, we'll tell you who's listening to in the archive section because we're out of time for live.
No!
No!
Yes. For Lucas, DJ, Nikki, Trista, VRM, what's his name? Andy Duke, Robert Salomon saying, peace!
And me!
Bye.
Wow.
And we're clear. Yay!
Yeah! Awesome show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay,
we actually got an ending in this time.
All right.
Well, I better go.
Second annual Wrestling Night at Tropicana Field, which will probably fill out more than a Devil Rays game.
Andy Dick.
Hey, everybody loves those D-Rays.
Say bye to Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
I'm going
say
to
bye to VRS.
See you guys later.
All
right. See you in 2 weeks.
Be safe.
All right.
And you guys can say goodbye to VRM too. I'm out for tonight.
Later, man.
Bye.
Later.
Man.
Bye, DJ. Hollers. Post more on the WrestleCraft forums.
All right. Now who do we got?
I'm still here.
Hey. I'm still here as well.
This guy's still alive.
There he is.
All right.
My Canadian counterpart.
Canadian Wavelength twin.
Okay,
he died.
Listen to this. Here's what happened. Here's what's going to happen. This year, here was last year's lineup, and listen to this. Last year's lineup was appearances by Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, Gene Okerlund, and B. Brian Blair.
Ooh.
And then the matches, Tatanka defeated Haku, Greg Valentine defeated Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and the Nasty Boys beat Rick Steiner and the Cuban Assassin with Fantasy.
Not surprised that the Nasty Boys are involved because Knobs actually sits behind home plate. And he's like a legend at Rays games, and apparently he heckles the opposing players so bad that he just makes the game, like, so crazy.
And here's who we got this year. Appearances by Dale Torborg, B. Brian Blair, and Greg the Hammer Valentine. But listen to these matches. Tatanka versus Norman Smiley.
Oh.
Yay!
Black Magic Norman Smiley.
Why did I not save up my money to go down to Tampa and see that? Damn.
Brutus Beefcake versus Demolition Smash with Demolition Axe.
Oh, my God.
So I'm guessing Blade's already booked his trip down then, Rob?
I think he's more interested in going up to Detroit to sleep with Katie Vick again.
No. You don't say.
Come on.
Dude.
And the Nasty Boys will face off against NWO buddies Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell.
That guy reacting in the background is my hero.
Is he listening to the show?
No. No, that's my brother. He's listening. He's actually recording the tape, I Bet You, which is a show featuring Antonio Sfondieri and Phil Locke. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for great Mike Adamley quotes from so far.
Oh, God.
I smell epic. I smell epic glory. He needs his own 3-DVD box set.
Don't give them ideas, Lucas.
Not so loud.
Oh, come on.
Somebody might be actually listening to this part.
By the way, here we go. Number 9. Morrison is built like Tarzan, but punches like Jane.
Oh, come on.
Tarzan wishes he had abs like that.
Oh, my God, Nikki?
Yes?
John Morrison in a loincloth?
Oh, I'm there.
Oh.
I am so there.
Wow.
And this can be Jane, or Cheetah. Actually, Jane. This can be
Powers
Cheetah.
Powers of wisdom lost.
I'm all there.
All right. Number 8, WWE Tag Champions. Number 7, Mike the Miz? Yeah. Number 6,
well,
reach out and touch someone, Michael.
Reach out and touch someone?
Did he miss a Depeche Mode karaoke night?
Yeah.
No, the cliches just keep on coming.
Oh, Lord.
Number 5, Sheldon Benjamin.
Oh, no.
Number 4, Uno, dos, adios.
Oh,
I actually liked that one.
Yeah, that one was good. Number three, WDEF title.
What was it?
WDEF title.
D-E-F?
You'll see it tonight on ECW. No, no, that was on. No, that was No Way Out. Number two, Jeff Harvey.
Yeah.
That was No Way Out. No, wait a minute, that was a Rumble.
How the hell is that not number one?
Because number one is You're Jamaican Me Crazy, Man.
Thank you.
Maybe I won't.
Whoever made that list should be shot. Jeff Harvey is definitely number one.
No, you're making me crazy. Needed to be number one because I almost threw something through my television.
Man, we got non-wrestling fans up here quoting, saying Jeff Harvey all the time. It's great.
You know, Robert, I know you were, like, super supportive when he first came in and how, like, we shouldn't be hard on him because it was his first live show at the Rumble or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
now he has, like, a couple of months' experience behind him, and he still sucks.
Thanks, Tips.
I agree.
I'm
Mr. Seidelman, please play the appropriate sound effect. That is to you, Mr. Adam Lee, every single week.
But it's still so, so hilarious.
I'm glad, Nikki. I'm glad, because it officially buries ECW. Officially ends it for me.
That was the last piece.
That was the last straw for me, so I'm glad.
No, no, no. You know what the last straw was?
Taz dancing?
Yes.
Not being champion?
The barbed wire off the logo?
Yeah. Taz should go on Dancing with the Stars.
I bet he'd do really well on there. Like, I know it sounds, like, crazy, but you always have, like, boxers and football players and all that, and they always do really good because of all the footwork that's involved. I don't see why wrestling would be any different than, like, I don't know, football and all that.
And you know,
but I want
to
see...
That's why I
want to... Not the race car driver one, but...
If they're going to do that, you know who they should get?
John Morrison. Oh.
Mayweather?
Shirt every week.
Oh, wait, here
Rick Flair. Because he was, let me explain.
They canceled that show.
It'll be a DVD extra on the 3D box that they're going to do, you guaranteed.
One small problem. That was done by CBS, not NBC.
Well, what they can do is they just bring a WWE camera crew out there and say, you, start salsa dancing.
Woo! Any old guy to start salsa dancing, they're like, look, it's Ric Flair, and it can be like some old tanned guy, and people would buy it.
And for those of you who are Ric Flair fans, go to www.wfnz.com. It's a radio station in the Carolinas, and there's a show called Prime Time with the Pac-Man, and he has these podcasts. And pretty much, Ric Flair is he's a guest on that show so many times. He's pretty much the unofficial co-host. So if you've ever I'm getting some feedback here, but make sure to try and download his podcast and listen to him because it's as honest as Ric Flair ever gets. He's so out of character, and it was really cool to listen to some of the interviews he's given on that show. So be sure to check that out if you're a Ric Flair fan because it's amazing.
Sweet.
You know what?
He gave one the day after WrestleMania, and he was so broken up. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was like moved to tears. It was so great.
I'm always so surprised how much respect Flair gets down in the Carolinas. Like, I know that's where he's from and all that, but it's just like, like, I don't know, wrestling in America is such a joke that for them to take someone as seriously as they take Flair, whenever I see it, I just find it like so shocking.
Yeah, because all those same people, they grew up watching him in the territories down there. I mean, he was just everybody that they is on the show at the same time. They all say, you know, I grew up watching you because he was there all the time wrestling in person, and he wrestled pretty much every day. And I mean, he could go around. He's like the unofficial party host of the Carolinas. He could go anywhere in Charlotte or in Greenville or anywhere in the Carolinas. He wouldn't have to buy a drink, wouldn't have to buy a meal. I mean, he's pretty much, he could run for the governorship and win handily.
Yeah, that surprises me. So it's like, just because in the 80s and like the 70s and all that, there were so many wrestling territories and so many guys did that, but it seems like the only person people truly respect for it is Flair. Like, we give that respect out to, like, Johnny Devine here, you know? Like, it's just not a big deal here in Canada, but to see that for Flair is just awesome.
Well, actually, a bit of trivia. I've traveled up to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area for work a few times, and there's a Friday in the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport. Guy caught me messing, working with some pictures on my laptop, and he mentioned that Ric Flair flies up there regularly. They have a bar stool, reserved for him, and if anybody's sitting in it when he arrives, they move over.
Go ahead, Nikki.
I was going to say that I wish I had the good fortune to actually see him there. He's one of the few people I have not recruited, and I still feel kind of bad for that.
I've got him.
Damn it.
He signed
Undertaker, too.
He signed my Royal Rumble WWF lunchbox from the early 90s. Signed it Ric Flair times. And he was chomping on his gum. The picture, it was at a hockey game that he was doing promotional work for the WWE. And his, like, eyes are all cross-eyed, and he's staring off into space. But it's a great picture because that's how I think of Nate now when I think of him. His eyes are all cross-eyed, and his mouth's open, and he's just like, ugh. And it's a great picture for that much. But yeah, Flair in his interviews, he calls himself Richard Flair. He says, now I can really be Richard Flair, which is pretty cool.
I need to give you guys... I should probably give out my up-and-coming schedule.
Solitude stands by the window. Sorry, Suzanne Vega's song is stuck in my head.
I'm sorry.
You poor man.
No, it's a damn good song. I'll play it for you guys.
No! It goes against all my indie street cred. I'd
rather listen to a Roderick Strong promo. Thanks.
Oh, heck yeah, I want to listen to a Roderick Strong promo.
Well, for English Street Cat, I got Ramsey's Kitchen Nightmares on my player.
I watched him the other night. He's so funny.
I watched that a couple weeks ago. I pretty much freaked out the entire time, laughing my ass off.
My friend wanted to be a chef, and then she saw that show, and she gave up her dream. She's like, I do not want to work for someone like that. I'm like, well, not all chefs are like that. She's like, no, they are. I was trying to make her feel better, because all chefs are like that.
But do they have an amazing Scottish accent?
I don't know. The guy that taught me how to cook didn't, but all I learned was how to make a really good grilled cheese, so.
That's all you need.
Pretty much. I just learned how to make pancakes last weekend.
Now, if you learn how to make Belgian waffles, I'd be more excited.
By the way, here's the song that's stuck in my head. I just wanted to show you that song.
Hey, Sigma.
Yeah.
Are we going to do, I mean, even though they haven't announced it, can we do, like, King of the Ring picks or, like, who we would want effectively to win the King of the Ring?
They had 8 people put up on WWE.com, but that was such a huge botch.
Yes.
I really hope that's not the lineup. That would be so disappointing.
That would be
I've heard about the listing, and I missed it. Well, who all was on it?
Big Show, MVP, Triple H, Jericho, Shawn Michaels, HBK, Umaga. I don't know who else I'm missing, but wait a minute. There's a list that I had in front of me, but that was.
We have late breaking Ring of Honor news from Trista Timpson.
I'm not saying it.
Uh-oh.
I'm too busy being a fangirl right now.
Okay, then I'll say it.
Okay.
Priestnet comes out to ask Austin Aries about what happened with Lacey. Austin doesn't answer as Lacey comes out. They make out, then leave.
Yeah.
Ugh, so jealous. I hate her so much.
What? Tell us how you really feel, Trista.
Hate her. Everything about her. Ugh. Okay.
Wasn't Lacey a part of Age of the Fall?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Come to Toronto, we'll just beat up Lacey, and then you get Allison all to yourself.
I hope so.
She gets Tyler Black all to herself.
I just want to reach out and, like, touch Austin Aries somehow. Maybe grab him. Inappropriately. I don't know. It's just something about him.
Looks like Austin Aries Atlas Security.
No one will be able to hold me back. Unless it's Tyler Black. He can touch me.
Inappropriately.
What is there security at a Canadian wrestling show?
Exactly. Well, I did see some at UWA once, but that's just because Ultimo is there. So you kind of need it when Ultimo's there. I was gonna say
that might have been after the Hero incident.
Yeah. Oh man, did you see that on YouTube?
Yeah, I saw that online somewhere.
I'm like, if I was at that show and it was Toriumon, I'd be about 2 feet away from when all that happened. But I didn't.
Was that Canada?
Yeah, that's in Mississauga. It's like an hour away from me.
Yeah,
plus,
I know where that is.
If it was a Toriumon show, you would have jumped, Shelly.
I tried. The barricade got in the way. My legs weren't long enough. I thought they were. Underestimated myself.
I would do the same thing, though, so.
Yeah. My friend got a really good picture of Alex, Shelly, and Chris Sabin from behind. That is nice. I still have it. I'll send it to you, Nikki.
Woohoo!
I have it on my Facebook, actually. I can't remember. I don't know. I have to look through my memory photos of that weekend.
You should take it off your Facebook and post it on your MySpace.
I totally should. I have so much I have to put up on my MySpace, like my earliest picture on there, so I'm like 06. I just stopped caring about it. I need to update that.
Oh.
By the way, doesn't the Nasty Boys remind you of Rocksteady and Bebop from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
The Nasty Boys? From like the 80s?
Makes for a good visual.
I wonder what's happening in the match right now. When
don't! I could have been there, goddammit.
Although, speaking of comics and cartoons, I came across something rather interesting. WWE. What's that?
John Morrison is Tarzan?
I wish. I came across the exceptionally corny comics that they were planning on putting in WWE Kids magazine. They got
Hardys
a former
in space.
The Hardys in Space are the funniest comics I have ever read. They are just so god awful. They remind me of the Undertaker comic series. They both end the same way. Jeff Hardy does something batshit insane. Something blows up. And in the middle of the crowd, you hear Jeff yelling, "Yahoo!"
Somebody, please send me this.
I'm gonna try to find the link because I came across the article on PW Headlines, and the link isn't in that article. I have to use the text to see if I can find it. It's from a board. Here you go. The board is under BYRNE.com, BYRNE.
Oh, it's BYRNE.
Comics.com.
Okay.
Oh, their forum. And let me see if I can get there my own way. Whoops. Forums. Look for one titled, well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I have some Ring of Honor news for me from the Newswire. Sure, this is old news from Wednesday, but who cares? Best I can get. The main event for the May 9th Manassas, Virginia debut has been signed. It's the No More Corps of Strong, Romero, and Richards.
Boo.
Someone say Roderick Strong?
Boo.
Listen. They're facing against three Noah stars. Go Shozaki, Naomichi Marafuji, and GHC Heavyweight Champion Takeshi Morishima.
Yes!
Mushiken Terry didn't make the show? Darn. There's an obscure reference.
Roderick Strong's going to get owned. It will be the greatest day of my life.
Any luck finding the comments?
You'll understand. You'll understand, Trista. Someday.
Someday.
By the way, the official voicemail of Sweet and Sour Incorporated has a new message saying that reality TV star Johnny Fairplay will be Larry Sweeney's guest at the 510 Manhattan event.
And he's bringing more Survivor people with him. Yes! So excited. Love Survivor. Great
show. I hope Bobby Dempsey sits on Johnny Fairplay's head.
I hope he brings an Aussie. I was so sad he got voted off last night. I was like, no! Not my Aussie! He did. Oh, it was so tragic.
I found out last night one of my all-time favorite poker players was on that show. I about freaked out.
Really? Jean Robert?
Hells yeah.
Oh, my God. He was so sleazy. He was hitting on everybody.
And, yes.
No, not Ashley. They went on the same tribe. But, yeah.
Jean Robert Ballon got third place at the WSOP circuit event in Atlantic City.
That man is a legend. I saw him 3 years ago when I was on a trip in the States. He was just ripping everyone apart. I'm like, this man's a hero. Look at this man, Dad. You're insane.
He made it to the marriage on Survivor, so he did okay. He was
really?
Just all, like, buddy-buddy with James, but it didn't happen.
Is Jean-Robert Ballon still there?
No, it was last season. The season Ashley was on, that ended in, like, December.
Oh.
We're on a new season now. We're in Micronesia. It's pretty awesome.
See what happens when you stop watching the show? You miss greatness like that.
It's a great show. Everyone stopped watching after, like, the second season. I'm like, never. I'm sticking around forever. And here we are.
I was there until about four.
Season 16.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh?
There is a lot of noise coming out the Age of the Fall camp, and we expect something to surface soon at theageofthefall.com concerning this weekend.
Good. They heard me. Ha-ha. All the way from
Age of the Fall promised a big weekend, especially on Friday in Detroit when Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black face Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin in the main event.
Oh, God, Trista is now dead.
I'm still here.
No, you're not, Marquette.
It's an out-of-body experience right now.
I've been to matches like this.
There's a new blog highlighting the Age of the Fall Motor City Machine Guns match.
Like a new one, or is it the one that Shelley and Jacobs were doing? They were just, like, blogging against each other. It was pretty tough. It was a war.
I was more amazed Shelley wrote a new blog.
It was so funny. When was it? In 2006, I think it was. Anytime he did a blog, it was one of my family members' birthdays. I'm like, mom's birthday, brother's birthday, dad's birthday. Every time he did one.
See, for your birthday, he'll do one.
My birthday's close to his, so he's probably out, like, I don't know, in Japan drinking sake or whatever and having a good time. So.
He's in Japan having a water balloon fight.
Like motion.
Hitting 90-year-old woman in the face.
By the way, hot shimmer action in 420 for the weekend of 426 and 427.
Shimmer! Woo!
Go Shimmer!
Shimmer's 426 taping is sold out.
Good for them.
That's awesome.
Still see Shimmer action in Chicago tomorrow at the Frontier Fieldhouse, which will feature Lacey versus arch rival Daisy Hayes.
Yes! Go Daisy!
Hey, Daisy Hayes.
Versus
I'm going for somebody else in this match.
Shut up, Lacey.
Mischief! Woo!
Oh, okay.
Versus Ashley Lane.
I've never even heard of her before.
Yeah, who's Ashley Lane?
I have no fucking clue.
Nikki, help us out.
Ashley Lane, I think it is. No, wait. That name's ringing a bell. Damn it, Sean Matthews, why aren't you listening to this show?
He's getting his head kicked in.
That's true.
Lexi Lane for Ohio Championship Wrestling.
Right, and that's Sean, Brandon actually knows her.
Yeah, because she was, she did the ladies' night that they had where ODB and Chantel Taylor and I think Sarah Del Rey was there.
And I think she's one that, she's actually the one that might have gotten the ROH call up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know one of, I hope that's her, and, you know, kudos if she goes there.
Yeah, she used to work CAPW when I was up in Cleveland. I remember going to a show, and she worked for them a couple of times, I think.
Okay.
So that is Ashley Lane for you.
Is she any good?
She's
okay.
Pretty good.
Because Mischief is really awesome. Daisy Hayes is pretty amazing. And
Lacey's the town whore.
She's okay.
I never get to see Daisy Hayes wrestle because I go to IWC events in Western Pennsylvania, and every time she's been there, she's been Delirious the sidekick, so she really doesn't wrestle. She wrestled there one time, but I wasn't able to make it. But she's actually wrestling Kong next weekend at IWC, where the guns will also be. So,
yay!
That'll be awesome.
Bah, 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 I'll wait.
By the way, because I have some interesting news for me from we're going over to Japan for this one.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Circa 2008 New Japan Brave. Rice presented a special dinner professional wrestling show that left 500 lucky fans in Shinsuke Nakamura's local Kyoto enjoy a meal while watching members of New Japan do battle. Rice, of course, was in the limelight, the main event being a rare unique tag match featuring four of their members. The fans were also treated to a short but hard-hitting gaijin match between Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson as the semi-main event.
Nice.
A-Train.
Cool.
Carl Anderson!
A-Train and all of his new tattoos. Good God.
Here are the results. Shiro Koshinaka, Jushin Thunder Liger, who's still wrestling after all these years.
He's amazing.
And Akira beat Manabu Nakanishi, Tiger Mask, and Taichi Ishikari.
Okay.
When Koshinaka used a powerbomb on Ishikari. There's a lot of tag matches on this one, so bear with me. Togi Makabe, Toru Yano, Jado, and Gedo, and Tomohiro Ishii beat Hiroyoshi Tenzin, Takashi Iizuka, Yojiro, Mitsu Heidi Hirasawa, and Tetsuya Naito. When Ishii used the lariat on Hirasawa.
Oh my god, lariat.
The same.
Thanks to Fire Pro, I kind of know who each of these people are.
Right. Watoru Inoue and Koshi Kanemoto beat Ryusuke Kajuchi and Kazuchika Okada when Yune used the crab hold on Okada.
Oh, Okada. I know him. He's really good. He came to UWA last year in Torimon when they did that weekend. And it was him and I think it was Liger. They teamed up the first night against Ultimo and one of Ultimo's students, and it was a really good match. I remember Okada. And then it was
and
him
in the
against Josh Prohibition. It was really good.
I wish I'd seen that.
Let's see what else we got here. Giant Bernard beat Carl Anderson with a neck-hanging bomb.
Easiest names ever.
Like I said, I marked for Carl Anderson. Sue me.
And here's the special tag match. Shinsuke Nakamura and Minoru beat Hirooki Goto and Milano Collection AT.
Yay!
When Nakamura used the landslide on Milano.
The landslide?
No idea what that is.
I was thinking, like, backslide. I'm like, what a shitty finisher, but...
it's Japan!
Somebody want to wear it. Come on!
More importantly, with the show being 500 fans, it was a Super No Vacancy Full House!
Yes, filled with 500 people.
What? No, Kenny Kamon Jr.? Damn, nobody got that. Never mind.
Good effort, Nikki.
Uh-oh.
I'd be a gold star if I had one.
Listen to this.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
TNA knockout Miss Peyton Banks looks to be done with the company for the time being after splitting off with Robert Roode following their loss at Lockdown.
Oops.
One source said she was in over her head. There's still the possibility that she could be brought back to TNA, but not at the moment. Banks has been working without a contract, and she was on a nightly deal with TNA. She wrestles as Rain for some Midwest indie leagues, and let's not mention she is the tag team partner of Lacey and Shimmer as the Minnesota Home Wrecking Crew.
They put the ho in home wrecking. So funny.
Now she knows what to work on in order to get a spot in TNA or WWE, and being the second goth chick in the Age of the Fall ain't going to get the job done, says WrestleCraft 4 member Dom Reb.
I think she'd be the third female member of Age of the Fall, because Alice in Wonderland was her
too. Alice in Wonderland is the star of that group, kids. She's going to be huge in like 7 years.
7 years.
It'll be around the same time when Roderick wins the belt.
It'll be the same
show.
Oh, by the way, the Slammiversary venue has been announced.
Oh?
Ooh.
Toronto.
No,
we're getting ROH. We don't care now.
That's way better.
TNA will hold Slammiversary 2008 at the DeSoto County Civic Center in South Haven, Mississippi, which will be billed on TV as the Memphis area.
Supposedly just a little bit south of Memphis, but I talked to Sean about it, and he said it for him, driving out of Cincinnati, it's still 7 hours.
Ooh.
Dayton was one of the finalists, Nikki. Did you hear that?
No, that I didn't hear.
It was down to, like, Dayton, Louisville. Let me check my page here, but I found a where they had narrowed it down. And one of them I know for a fact was Dayton, and I thought that it was going to happen, but it did not
damn
work
it,
out that way.
Oh, good Lord. Slammiversary at the Harrison, at the Hera Arena? I would have been there.
Let me see what I can
find. By the way, it's only 15 minutes away from Memphis.
I still don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
But listen to this. Here's what some people at the WrestleCraft forums said it would be. Is it the Big Smurf? Remember Lewis Black's Live on Black on Broadway?
Nope.
He talked about a works project about building a big effing big fucking thing. Some people are claiming that this is a big fucking thing that Lewis Black foretold. And listen to this. It should be held at the Big Fucking Thing Arena with the Slammiversary Fan Fest taking place at the Big Fucking Thing Auditorium and Juice Bar.
That's Rain a reference
Red
even
Fred,
I,
what?
That's a reference even I don't get for Lewis Black stuff.
Yeah, that shit's going right over my head.
I know Lewis Black, but I haven't seen the show, so.
He was on another.
Oh, there's a video hyping it. And the King of the Mountain match will be returning.
Raw Berry.
Here.
There.
Here it is.
Anniversary of Memphis, and we ain't gonna be singing the blues. The King of the Mountain match returns, and the TNA Heavyweight Championship is at another crossroads. Shake, rattle, and roll. TNA Wrestling presents Slammiversary live Sunday, June 8th on Pay Per View. TNA Wrestling, cross the line.
They got Billy D. Williams to do the voiceover for that? That's amazing.
Where's my malt
gonna
liquor?
Sell you some, gonna sell you some Colt 45 malt liquor.
Yes.
Here you go, Nikki. This was dated Wednesday. TNA All will right. be announcing the location for Slammiversary pay-per-view in June, sometime in the next few weeks. Buffalo, New York, in addition to Louisville, Kentucky, and Dayton, Ohio, are all being considered for the show. So apparently they went with the fourth option. And they also went on to say that Bound for Glory will take place somewhere in Chicago, and they're trying to do Samoa Joe versus Sting. So we'll see about that.
Well, I'm not surprised that Louisville got shot down. They did a show at the Louisville Gardens last spring that was just an absolute mess. They had all kinds of issues with the meet and greet beforehand, which turned into a full-blown cattle drive. There were seating issues, chairs were being added and late, and aisleways were blocked by intermission. There were all kinds of lighting issues, so when one of the matches spilled into the crowd, you couldn't see it, even though you could see where they went. When the dust settled for the end of this show, I did hear a little bit of griping on the way out the door. And out of all the pictures that I took, I only got one recruit, and it was a wrestler posing as a security guard. That's how bad this show was.
Who would that be?
An indie guy named Mason Rage.
Ah.
He'd signed up with my MySpace, and I ran into him at the show. Somebody pointed him out to me. I came over, shook his hand. You know, told him I wouldn't mind having him aboard, took a picture with him, especially since I couldn't get a bloody picture during the meet and greet. It was so bad, it was to the point that all the guys had color printouts with their picture on that they were signing, and I had brought pictures specifically for this. I get to Samoa Joe, and the security guard starts yelling at me, and I slip the picture to Joe. While I'm discussing things with the security guard, Joe's got this great shit-eating grin on his face as he signs my picture.
Look
by the way,
worse than Dayton?
Huh?
Was it worse than the cattle drive in Dayton for Styles and Tomko?
Not that bad. It wasn't quite that bad. That is probably the worst cattle drive I've been in. That even tops the Cleveland Autorama cattle drive I was stuck in with Jeff Hardy.
Oh, wow. That was in March of 06. I remember that.
Oh, that was bad.
Actually, it was March of 07. I thought it was March of 07. No, you're right. No, it happened after Jericho.
Because I was in Cleveland at the time, and I was disappointed because I had to go home for the weekend. Because they always do a signing in and around the time of.
Hang on, I blogged about it. Let me get a date. I'll get you a date.
Well, Nikki looks for that. Here's some TNA Impact news for you.
Oh.
In keeping up with a trend, they scored a 1.0.
Shocking.
No wonder.
Like I said, though, if you get the guys from Madagascar Pro Wrestling, it's an automatic 1.5. I mean, hell, I'll watch it again.
She said I'd be all over it. If he brought the Hardcore back, it'd be a 3.0.
No wonder they're giving away Angle and Joe next week for free. They must be really desperate for ratings.
Oh, by the way, I figured out something why their ratings have sort of been the same. There's a rerun option available.
Oh, yeah, there's always been one available, like Saturday nights or something like that.
You know what
Saturday
they should
night.
Do? Get rid of it.
Oh, come on. When you're full of excitement and lifestyles that I lead, you ought to obviously get to check out that Saturday show.
True say.
What are the days on Saturday show?
I think it's on at like 11 at night. Isn't it?
And you know what they could do? Get rid of that 2-hour repeat of impact and put in like explosion.
You know what else they could do? Make the 2-hour show an actual 2-hour show and not 2 1-hour shows crammed together. Hey!
You mean make it good? That's insane.
Oh, sorry. Baby steps.
Here we go. The Jeff Hardy cattle drive was on March of 2007.
Ah.
In fact, it was bookmarked. The day after that, I was in Indianapolis for Raw.
Huh.
But yeah, we got there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Jeff was 2 hours late. They pushed us through like they only had a half an hour left, and I could not get the picture I needed with Jeff.
Boy, Jeff Hardy showing up late for an appointment, that doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, not at all. I made the comment that Matt was the one that kicked him out of bed, and Jeff told him to call the airport while he got dressed.
Wait, is this Jeff Hardy or Jeff Harvey?
It was probably Jeff Hardy, because at least Jeff Harvey is usually on time.
Okay.
You know what? Everybody makes excuses for Jeff Hardy all the time. You know what? When they were talking about when he comes back, what position is he going to be? Is he still going to be a main eventer? You know, everybody rags on Orton all the time. But you know what? Jeff Hardy's just as bad, probably even worse. So you know what? Like, I'm pretty much done with Jeff Hardy. I gave him a chance, and now he's dead to me. So I just said my piece. That's all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I'm, you know, very disappointed in what happened with Jeff, and I would love to hear more of why all his stuff burned down and he didn't have insurance to cover it. I still want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but his timing is horrible, absolutely horrible. But the reason I had questioned the date of the cattle drive was because I remember making a comment about it. Because it was about 3 weeks later that I got to meet Chris Jericho in Michigan. And the Gibraltar Trade Center in Taylor has probably the best setup for any autograph session.
Oh,
I love their setup.
That brings me to something, Nikki. There will be May 4th, I think it's May 4th, 2 autograph guests at the Gibraltar Trade Center in Troy, Michigan. You have Al Snow.
Right.
Guest number one. Guest number two, Psycho Sid Vicious.
I'm looking into that, actually. See, one of the cool things about the
Gibraltar...
Go ahead, DJ.
I was contemplating doing the same thing, so go ahead.
What I was going to say is just one of the cool things about it is that you can actually call Gibraltar and say, hey, I want to go to these 2 sessions. You pay in advance, and you get your ticket number. That way you don't have to stand in line. This is what I loved about the Jericho signing. I called, and I think I was like 17th in line, which means I actually got a couple of minutes with him. I actually got to talk to him. He signed my unscripted book. He signed a liner notes for a friend of mine from one of the Fozzy albums.
Nice. Nice.
I begged him to come back, and he's like, I don't know. And I said, not even an ECW, and he looked at me and he said, not that one.
By the way, I have some news. Actually, not news, but remembrances. I know Nikki doesn't remember what I'm going to say, but I'll remember because she wasn't watching. But for Trista, for Lucas, and for DJ.
Yes.
Remember Saturday mornings? You would just sit down, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You'd
and
turn
like
on
Saved
the
by
TV.
The Bell? Hang Time and California.
Hang Time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. NBC.
No.
I'm giving you a standing O.
I'm thinking you would turn on the TV and you had watched some WCW Worldwide or Pro.
Saturday morning. WCW Saturday morning.
Time. Back in 2000.
Yeah, we got that Saturday evening.
Yeah, we got that
Live
Saturday
wire.
6:05.
6:05 on the Superstation, GBS.
Yeah,
or as the kids call it now, Peachtree TV.
Yo, that's such bullshit. I cannot stand Peachtree TV.
That's so terrible.
I
walk into one day, why are there different strokes on? What is this?
They took away everything. Like, I used to watch Sex and the City reruns on there. Gone. The Office. Gone. I was just like, what the hell is this? And the Atlanta Braves are on every other commercial.
That's what I noticed. I was watching Family Guy when I'm like, why are the Braves still on here? What's this? This song's terrible.
Oh,
couldn't they show the Amazing D-Rays?
Peachtree sucks.
That's why you get the Fight Network, so you can watch ROH on Monday nights.
Oh, I wish. I watch Raw on Monday nights sometimes. Depends how bad I really want to study. Raw went over studying this week for some reason. I don't know why.
You don't know, I really miss watching Nitro, but you want to know who summed it up best about the death of WCW?
Mm.
Kevin Nash. Here's something from his interview with Scott Hudson. Here it is.
Now, well, which takes us to the fateful April 10th, 2000, Denver, Colorado, when Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff together reinvented Nitro.
Right.
And from there, after a pretty hot start with the new blood and the Millionaires Club and whatnot, things really started to go south. And you were there for that, too. Tell us what it was like. You were there at the beginning of when we started to get hot. You rode the crest, and then you were there when we started to hit that downhill slide.
Yeah. What happened? Number one, they took Eric out and they put some account man, whatever the hell that guy's
Bill
name.
Bill Bush.
Nice guy.
Yes.
You know. But, I mean, you know, he had the charisma of a plastic plant.
Not in danger of being an on-air down.
No.
But, again, Kev, when things started to go south, what was it like? I mean, it's easy to enjoy life backstage when we're hot. But
it was like being in the business in 1989 and 90 when you went to the Philadelphia Civic Center. It was like doing stand-up at a cruise ship. It was like fucking brutal. I mean, there was nothing but smart people in the crowd, and you could feel that it was. You know, every good thing comes to an end.
What would you have done differently? I mean, you weren't in a position of power at that point. If here's the magic power, what would you have done differently than what happened there?
Put the belt on me. No.
Fuck yeah, man.
Put the strap on me and give me and Scott a raise.
Was there anything that could have been done?
You know what? I hate to make my second reference to President Kennedy's assassination, but you know, at that point, it's just like. You know, you're going to go around and do a blood drive for the guy with his top of his head blown off, or you're just going to fucking make him comfortable and let him fucking, you know.
It was inevitable.
To me, when you lose the backing from the company.
Yes.
I sat there and talked to Brad Siegel, and they had some, you know, some feel-good movie that they had spent $45 million to make. And, you know, they all felt good about it so they can jerk each other off at the Cable Ace Awards that year. And I sat there at a table with him in Denver, and I said, you guys spent $40 or $45 million for a show that you'll play how many times a quarter? And he said, probably 3 times a quarter. I said, and you'll be happy if it does what? He said, we'll be happy if it does it 2. I said, so inevitably, you're going to get, if you're playing it 3 or 4 times a quarter, I said, you know, you're going to play this thing 16 times a year, and you're going to be happy if you get a 2. We were still doing 3 threes, 3 fives to 4s then for 3 hours of original programming for less than the cost of that. So are you in the business of actually doing programming? Then you say to yourself, oh, wait, this is TBS. This is the same channel that runs Dirty Dancing for fucking 24 hours, like you're going to watch it 16 times. You know? I mean, this is you're talking to these people. Then they go, gee, I wonder why Time Warner stock went from 112 bucks to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I don't know. Maybe because you had a bunch of idiots running the company?
You won't get an argument from me there.
I mean, so, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, people say, what happened to WCW? Fuck what happened to WCW. What happened to AOL Time Warner?
Amen.
I mean, the company fucking imploded. Why wouldn't why would one subsidiary be able to survive that?
Would you agree?
Yes, Quite. Yes, and yes.
Well, you see, you just put the belts on Nash because when he defeated Backlund in a record 8 seconds, there was 29,000 people at Madison Square Garden. As Alex Shelley once asked, does the Garden even hold 29,000 people? Well, it did that night, Alex. It did that night.
Touche.
Kevin Nash has such a mind for the business. I mean, people don't give him credit for how unbelievably smart he is, but you know what? Like he said, you know, the first thing that flew out of his mouth was, put the belt on me. And that's kind of the mentality that when he had Booker status, I mean, he pretty much let all of his friends do whatever they wanted. And, I mean, he had a hand in it, too. But, I mean, if Kevin Nash, you know, didn't think about himself and thought about the business as a whole, he would be a great booker and a great writer and a great promoter. But, I mean, I do agree that they did have a bunch of rum-dums who were non-wrestling people running WCW at the time. So that's why Vince is still, you know, kicking, because wrestling people run the wrestling business, not television executives.
Agreed. However, it should be pointed out that Kevin Nash did book WCW from November 2000 to the end.
Glorious times those were.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, you know? Like, we can read all about it. We can listen to all the interviews we want. But the thing is that, like, it doesn't matter whose point of view we're hearing it from, we'll never truly know what happened back there. You know,
exactly.
Like, none of us were there. They were there, only giving their side. You're gonna
hear so many hands in the cookie jar. I mean, it's unbelievable how many accounts you hear. You're right.
Like, we'll never truly know why WCW went down, you know? We can hear everything we want, but which one's true? I'd give my opinion, but, like, I was 13 when it went out of business. Like, I'm not going to say, well, I'll tell you why it went out of business. I don't know why. I only watched it for 3 count. Like, I was such a fangirl then.
I wasn't even watching at the time, so.
I was just getting into it. Like, I started watching, like, really late 98, like, December 98 is when I really started watching it. And then, like, I started watching WCW, like, maybe 2000, because I realized it was on when I got home from school on Wednesday, because that's how awesome Canada is. We had wrestling on 7 days a week. And, like, yeah, I'd watch maybe, like, an hour of it, and I'm like, why are these people on here, and where is Evan Courageous? Like,
you were probably the only 13-year-old kid in the country who said that.
Oh, probably. 13-year-old girl, at least. But, yeah. Like,
the
I'm not going to give my opinion.
The problem with WCW is they tried to make new stars too late. Like, all the people who had jumped to WWF and became stars, like Triple H and Austin, they missed the boat on that, so they figured, okay, let's try to move a bunch of guys off the card, and they had, like, Hulk Hogan versus Billy Kidman. I mean, it just didn't fit. They rushed
the
guys.
And it defaulted Kidman's career. It didn't do anything for it. Like, you look at his career now, and it's like, oh, guy that banged Tori Wilson. Like, he isn't really known for anything. That career, like, that dude should have made him something, and it made him nothing. Like, it did fuck all for his career.
Like, Vampiro, I mean, they dropped the ball on so many guys. Like, they pushed him too fast, but they pushed the wrong guys, and they missed the boat on guys, pretty much.
That's what I'm scared about for TNA. Like, I'm watching it now, and, like, Joe's champion? Awesome. I cared about Joe 2 years ago, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I don't care anymore.
It's the same even with my
rejects.
It's the same with my beloved Alex Shelley, hero to millions of children everywhere. I think, like, the momentum on him was so huge when he was with Nash and him in 06, early 07, and now, as much as it pains me to say, it's not there, even with the Machine Guns. They were red hot a year ago. Now,
generic baby face tag team. Paparazzi Productions was gold. That's freaking gold.
Paparazzi Productions was the only last great thing about that promotion.
That's what made me start watching TNA in the first place, was that, like, you know, I would look it up and whatever, because it was wrestling, and all I kept seeing was Alex Shelley, Alex Shelley, Alex Shelley, Alex Shelley. So I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll YouTube this guy. I was hooked as soon as he started stalking Christian's wife. It was awesome.
You know what?
I watched it, and I'm like, why am I not watching this more often? Like, this dude's amazing, and I just became a huge Shelley merc after that.
And initially, I think Shelley, too, is kind of like, I don't want to be put in this thing with Kevin Nash, but you know what? I think it grew on him, too. So I think he did actually learn a thing or two from Big Kev.
Oh, you would learn
that
something.
That was weak. That was... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm totally done.
Okay. No, I was going to say, that was weekly ritual viewing. The PC, like the paparazzi, the PCS, everything. It was comedy gold.
Oh, yeah.
I was even down, like, I was 6 hours away. I'm like, okay, we're watching this. My friend's going, what the hell? This is comedy gold. You should watch this. After she left the room,
I would watch that until that point. I would watch Impact. Then, like, after the PCS was done, like, all right, I'm going to bed, because I had to get up and, like, work at, like, 7 in the morning the next day. Like, I would watch the first half hour of Impact, and then I'm like, all right, see you later. I saw pogo sticks. I'm good. Multiple chairs. Yes.
By the way,
We don't have a radio, though. How are we going to do this? Radio? Who needs radio? Ready, Kev?
By the way, there is a thread up at WrestCraft. This is called the official blank is better than Adam Lee thread.
Everything.
Todd
Canyon.
Here's what we got. From Striker Dark Silence. The thing that grew in the bottom of a coffee cup I forgot to wash while I was in university 5 years ago.
Bro.
Ultimate Warrior.
Kenyon is better than Adam Lee.
Homer Simpson. Randy Marsh. Kenny McCormick. A bad case of the gout.
Oh.
Kali.
Oh.
Chris Kenyon.
Told you.
And from Little Britain. Every single other human being on the planet Earth.
Wow.
Thank you, Tips.
Throw Roderick Strong promo on there.
No!
You
have to understand. Someday.
Either one of the dicks.
Take Colin.
A man with no throat. Rob the Robot. Manila. Baby and Kaylin.
Yes.
Man, the legend.
Mark Madden.
No.
Yeah, Double M.
No.
Super genius.
A tub of lard.
Or Mark
Madden. Same thing.
Is there a jar of almonds on this list?
A jar of almonds.
Thank you.
Tarzan.
Yes.
Morrison.
John Morrison is Tarzan?
Oh, God. We're now stuck on this, aren't we?
Oh, my God. It's such a
Katie
beautiful.
Lee.
I'll give him that.
Maurice.
Are you going to go through
no.
the whole list?
How many pages is this list again?
I think there's a lot.
Well,
a sizzling steak. Quick Draw McGraw.
Come on.
Aurora Rose McMahon.
Helmsley.
Bobby Lashley. Helen Keller. Muffy. The entire continent of Asia.
Yeah, if we're going
to oh, come on now.
List, I'm going to hang up now.
Mongo McMichael.
Yes, that's on there. Porky from Life Goes On.
Yikes.
Oh, that's a low blow.
No, if you want a low blow, here it is. The coach.
Ow. He's probably happy. It gets everybody off his back.
Mel Tillis.
Well, to cut you off, because everyone wants to know the big results for tonight's match, Age of the Fall defeats the Mortar City Machine Guns in a battle between mine and Lucas's boyfriends.
Yikes.
I didn't know Lucas was
gobby everywhere.
Good battle. Put up a good match, Lucas. Better luck next year. And with that,
thank God I wasn't there. I would have been brokenhearted and just seen, why is there a kid throwing chairs into the ring? He seems to be pissed.
This is an ECW. And with that,
why is his brother shaking his head at him?
I'm actually going to head out now, too. So, yep. Time for bed.
By the way, I have the perfect, the official blank is better than Adam Lee answer.
All right.
The inanimate Carmen rod.
And with that, I am off.
So it was good to hear from you.
It was fun. We laughed.
Come back soon.
We cried. We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I got ripped on again. No, that never happens.
Dude, it's going to happen whenever I even hear your voice or I see you on MSN. It's just going to happen. I need people like that in my life. I went up to Barrie 2 weekends ago. It's a 2-hour drive, and I made fun of the same person the entire time I was there. Like,
I have a bad feeling come August.
July, August, something like that.
Combination of both.
A little bit of both. We'll see. Whatever comes first. But yeah.
Well, I will hear from you later on down the road. I think we better close it down for tonight.
Yeah.
Do that.
Because
2-hour show.
I will give you 5 more names, then we'll close it down.
Okay. I'm up for 5 more.
The official blank is better than Adam Lee. Ryan Seacrest.
Trip. Disagree.
Todd Pettengill.
False.
Chris Kloss.
Absolutely true.
They're going to make you jump. Now, if they say Baby Blue Sound Crew, I think we're going to riot. Or Cardinal Wolfie Shaw.
Project Wise.
Sean Mooney. And finally, Larry Zonka.
Yay.
I was hoping Mocha only, but.
All right.
Canadian humor.
Yes. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
thanks for
everyone.
Listening to the archive.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hi, folks.
Bye.
See ya.
Later.
John Morrison as Tarzan. Hilarious.